30.
I am not ashamed of the good news about salvation through Messiah Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, because this good news unleashes the power of God to bring salvation and salvation from the real and deadly forces of Satan, sin, and death is our greatest need. This good news unleashes the power of God to bring salvation to everyone who believes this message, first to the Jewish people and then to the Gentiles. Shalom, this is Rabbi Lauren, and I'm coming to you live by Skype from the studios of Congregation Shema Yisrael with Jesus Made Me Kosher. Jesus, Yeshua, is the most important person who ever lived. Yeshua is the most relevant person who ever lived. Everything about him is important. Everything about him is relevant to us 2,000 years after his coming into this world, his death, his burial, his resurrection. Matthew chapter 8 records a particularly busy and intense period in Messiah's life that reveals wonderful things about who he is, what he can do for us, and I'm talking about right now, what he can do for us right now, and how we in the 21st century need to respond to him. Matthew chapter 8, Yeshua was in the northern part of Israel in what's called the Galil, the Galilee. Matthew tells us that when Yeshua came down from the mountainside, where he gave what I think is the greatest message, the greatest teaching on ethics and values and priorities ever given by a human being, the glorious Sermon on the Mount. When Yeshua came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Adon, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Yeshua reached out his hand and touched the leper, saying, "I am willing. Be clean." Immediately, the man was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Yeshua said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Leprosy could devastate a person's life physically, socially, economically, even religiously. Leprosy caused isolation from the Jewish community, distance from the temple in Jerusalem and synagogue worship. Leprosy could powerfully impact an individual's life for the worse. But the Holy Spirit is telling us that Yeshua is greater than leprosy. When Messiah touched this leper, he didn't become unclean. Instead, the leper was miraculously and instantly healed. Hallelujah. Baruch Hashem. Praise the Lord. Yeshua is greater than leprosy. Here's the truth. Here's reality. Because of the fall, all of us are lepers, spiritual lepers. Our spiritual leprosy has isolated us from God. Our spiritual leprosy has disfigured us, weakened us, and is destroying us. But Yeshua is greater than our spiritual leprosy, and he wants to touch us and heal us, and he is able to heal us. But in order to be healed, we need to do what this man did. Come to Yeshua and kneel before him. We come to Yeshua and we kneel before him by understanding that he is the divine Son of God, who is alive now, who is real, who is so much greater than us. And then we transfer our loyalties to Messiah and to his Father. My friends, Yeshua is greater than leprosy. He's also greater than paralysis. Matthew continues, when Yeshua had entered Capernaum, a centurion, a Roman officer, came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly." Yeshua said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" The Roman centurion replied, "Lord, I don't deserve to have you come under my roof." Wow, that is a wonderfully humble response from a Roman officer to a Jewish man under Roman occupation. "Lord, I don't deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." Even though many Jewish people didn't understand how special Yeshua was, this Roman officer knew that Yeshua had tremendous spiritual authority. He knew that spiritual powers were subject to him. And this great spiritual understanding impressed the Messiah. It resulted in a compliment about Gentiles who, like this Roman centurion, will have faith, and a rebuke for Jewish people without faith. And it resulted in a healing of the paralyzed servant. When Yeshua heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west, and they will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." And what a celebration that will be, my friends. "But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Messiah is teaching us something that's very important, that salvation will soon be made available to the other peoples of the world, not just to the chosen people, the Jewish people. The subjects of the kingdom that Messiah refers to are the Jewish people. They were in a covenant relationship with God, the king. The kingdom was offered to the Jew first, the subjects of the kingdom. But it will also be offered to the Gentiles. And a Gentile who knows that Jesus is the Messiah, the ultimate prophet, priest, king, and savior, a Gentile who becomes loyal to the Jewish Messiah is far better than a member of the chosen people who refuses to accept Yeshua as king. Then Yeshua said to the centurion, "Go. Let it be done just as you believed it would." And Matthew records that his servant was healed at that moment. My friends, Yeshua is greater than paralysis. Because of the fall of man, the catastrophe that took place in the Garden of Eden, humanity is like this paralyzed man. We are spiritually immobilized. We are unable to function the way we were designed to function and the way we need to function spiritually. We can't even move the way we need to move back to the God who is able to heal us. The Holy Spirit is also teaching us that Yeshua is greater than distance. The leper was healed in close proximity to Yeshua. Yeshua reached down and he touched the leper. This servant was healed from a distance. Healing is not limited by physical proximity. That's good because this planet is a large place, and the universe is an immensely huge place. Great distances are involved. And we can seem so small, so weak, so insignificant, so irrelevant in a large universe. But Yeshua is greater than the greatest distances. And what's really important is spiritual proximity, closeness to Yeshua, who is close to God. God the Father, working through Yeshua, is able to heal, to help, to bless, to save, to make our lives meaningful and relevant no matter what the distance. You're listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher. This is Rabbi Lauren talking about our wonderful Messiah, who's the most important person who ever lived, the most relevant person who ever lived, and how important and relevant he is right now in the 21st century, from Matthew chapter 8. The Spirit of God working through Yeshua is able to heal. And the healing that comes through Yeshua is not limited by familiarity. The leper was most likely a stranger to Yeshua, and yet Yeshua was used by God to heal the leper. The Roman centurion and his servant were most likely unknown to Yeshua prior to this moment, and yet Yeshua was used by God to heal the servant. Next, Yeshua will heal someone who he probably was familiar with, Simon Peter's mother-in-law. So Matthew continues, when Yeshua came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she got up and began to wait on Yeshua. How wonderful. Maybe you feel that you've been far from God your whole life, that you don't really know God and he doesn't know you. So why should he help you? You're not familiar with him. He's not familiar with you. None of that is relevant because the healing that comes through Yeshua is not limited by familiarity. God the Father and Messiah the Son are willing to help and heal everyone who comes to God on their terms. Yeshua was empowered by the Holy Spirit to heal individuals and to heal many. The Spirit of God working through Jesus healed people with all kinds of physical illnesses and also those being sickened by the demonic. Matthew 8 continues, when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word, and he healed all the sick. Then the Holy Spirit, speaking to us through Matthew, this wonderful Jewish man, tells us that this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah, quote, he took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. Interesting. Isaiah 53, which is being quoted here, he took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. Matthew tells us is about the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, not the nation of Israel, as is often interpreted by my Jewish people. And Isaiah 53 was written by Isaiah. Matthew is telling us, the Holy Spirit is telling us, not someone else, not some second Isaiah or third Isaiah or even fifth Isaiah, like some liberal scholars teach. And the Holy Spirit wants us to know that Yeshua is the one who is able to heal all of humanity's sicknesses, physical sicknesses and spiritual sicknesses. Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah, the promised seed of the woman who can crush the head of the serpent and undo all the damage done by the fall in the Garden of Eden. Yeshua is the suffering servant, the Messiah who will heal humanity physically and spiritually from all of our problems by suffering to make perfect atonement for us. This was a very busy time, a very intense time for Yeshua. He wanted a break from his ministry to the crowds. But before he could leave, he had two interactions with potential followers. And what he told them is very relevant for us today. When Yeshua saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Remember, they're up north, they're in the Galilee, the Kinneret, what's called the Sea of Galilee, but actually it's a lake. The Kinneret was there, and he wanted to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the Torah, a Torah teacher, an expert in Judaism, came to him and said, Rabbi, I will follow you wherever you go. Those are good words. I will follow you wherever you go, Yeshua. Those are words that all of us should speak and mean. This man knew that he should follow Yeshua and be with him wherever Yeshua went. And you know what? We should too. But talk is cheap. Following Yeshua means more than saying words and making mere confessions or professions. And Yeshua knew that and replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Following Yeshua means being a disciple. It means being saved. It means that Yeshua comes first. It means being willing to give up convenience, comfort, even home, to follow him, to embrace him in his mission, to embrace him in his goals, to embrace him in his priorities. That's what following Yeshua means. Is that you? Yeshua comes first. Following Yeshua also means putting him before family. Another disciple said to him, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." That's a good sentiment. The father was probably still alive. What's happening is that this potential disciple, this man, wanted to follow Yeshua, but only later, not now. And after his father died, and maybe after his inheritance was secured. Yeshua's response? He said, "No. Now I come first." Yeshua told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." Honoring your father, like this man wanted to, is very important. But the creator-creature relationship is our most important relationship, and it takes precedence over all other relationships, even before honoring father and mother. Our loyalty to Yeshua comes first, before family. Is that you? In the last part of this chapter, Matthew teaches us that Yeshua is greater than the storms that assail us from within and the storms that threaten us from without. This is Rabbi Lauren. You're listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher. And I'm talking about Yeshua, Jesus, who's the most important person who ever lived, the most relevant person who ever lived. And I'm talking about him using Matthew chapter 8. Remember, Yeshua is trying to get away from the crowds and get some much-needed rest. And he wants to go to the eastern shore of the Kinneret, the Lake of the Galilee in northern Israel. Then, Matthew tells us, he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Yeshua was sleeping in the midst of this sudden furious storm. This indicates that he must have been very tired from this particularly busy, intense time of ministry. He was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." This sudden violent storm that threatened to drown them revealed that Yeshua is greater than the winds and the waves and the storms and is able to save those who become loyal to him from all the storms of life. We live in a fallen world that is satanically controlled and is in rebellion against God and is under a curse. In such a world, there will be storms, mental and emotional storms, family and work-related storms, financial storms, health-related storms, stormy relationships. There will be storms in life, and there will be storms when we or others we care about are facing death. Things may be calm, but suddenly, like this sudden dangerous storm these men experienced on the Kinneret, you may find yourself in the middle of a sudden deadly storm that threatens to drown you. The good news is that Yeshua is greater than all of these storms of life, and he is able to save those who become loyal to him from all those storms. And he's there right with you in your boat, in your storm. You just need to wake him up so that he can act. It's not that he's sleeping where he is right now, there at the right hand of God the Father. It might seem sometimes that he's asleep, but he isn't. If he is seemingly somnambulant, seemingly sleeping, It's because you don't know how to rouse him so that he will act on your behalf. We need to learn how to stay close to Yeshua by living for him, by serving him, by righteous living, by resisting temptation, by trying to hear his still small voice speaking to us, so that when we are in a storm and really need to pray, we will be ready to pray. We will be in a good place to pray, and we will know how to effectively pray. You're listening to Rabbi Lauren. This is Jesus Made Me Kosher, talking about our wonderful Messiah and how important and relevant he still is, from Matthew chapter 8. Yeshua is greater than the storms that threaten from without. He's also greater than the storms that assail from within. When he arrived at the other side of the region of the Gadarenes, finally time to get away, finally time to rest and relax and recuperate, a little R&R. Two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. "What do you want with us, Son of God?" they shouted. "Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" Some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding. The demons begged Yeshua, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs." Yeshua said to them, "Go." So those demons came out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. Those tending the pigs ran off, went into the town, and reported all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the whole town went out to meet Yeshua, and when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region. Demons are real. Satan, demons, even little spirits are real, and they're powerful, and they do afflict humanity in a lot of ways, including demon possession. But Yeshua is greater than all of them. He's greater than all of the demons and is able to free those most possessed by those demons. What makes his great saving ability ineffectual is what the people of this town did, asking Yeshua to leave. Is that you? People ask Yeshua to leave in various ways, by rejecting him when they hear about him, by being willfully ignorant about him, by choosing the status quo above him, by putting other things before him. Is that you? You may have had some contact with Yeshua. You may suspect that there's something very special about him, that he is important, that he is relevant, that he might be able to help you, but you prefer that he not be part of your life, like the men of this region asked him to leave. How sad. Matthew chapter 8, Yeshua is greater than leprosy. He is greater than distance. He is Lord of Jews. He is Lord of Gentiles. He can heal a few or he can heal many. He's greater than all sicknesses, physical and spiritual. He's the Messiah of Isaiah 53 who will heal humanity through his sacrificial sufferings. He must come first before our conveniences, our comforts. He comes before home. He comes before family. He can calm the storms without, and he can calm the storms within. He's the seed of the woman who is greater than Satan and all of his demons and will crush the head of the serpent and fix the catastrophe that took place in Eden. The proper response to this wonderful Messiah, this amazing Savior, it's that of the Torah teacher that we read earlier. "Rabbi, I will follow you. I will follow you wherever you go." It's my prayer that the three-in-one God of Israel would give each one of us the grace to say those same words, "Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go," to say those wonderful words and really mean them. Matthew chapter 8. Jesus, the most important person who ever lived, the most relevant person who ever lived, still now in the 21st century. You've been listening to Rabbi Lauren. You've been listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher. And from all of us who are connected to Congregation Shema Yisrael, this unique community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles, we want to pray that God would help you experience shalom, shalom, his perfect peace.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.